You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
All right, take a seat, take a seat. Can we give it up for the worship team? They do an incredible job this morning, or what? Leading us into the presence of the Almighty God. And I just want to say, man, thank you for having me here today. It's always a pleasure to come to East Texas, and I brought 80-degree weather with me this week. You're welcome. We were here this week staying out in on the Lake Palestine in the Flint area all week long and enjoying the luxurious weather and did a little fishing and had a great time. And, man, I'm just so thankful to be a part of a family of churches that brings a connection and encouragement amongst each other. One of my best friends preached here last week, Matt Johnson from Graham. We're 45 minutes down the road from each other. I haven't even watched his message yet, but I bet he told you about how good of an athlete he used to be. Told you about his time in Team USA, but what he did not tell you about is that we did a Spartan race last year and your boy beat him. And then I went to Graham, Texas and preached and showed all the pictures as evidence. Hey, but I'm just so thankful to have a family, to have spiritual brothers in the faith. And I'm so thankful for your pastor, Pastor Tim. It's a spiritual big brother to me, a father of the house. And just, and he encourages me weekly. I don't have to ask for it. Every Monday without fail, he reaches out to me, asks me how my weekend went, how he could be praying for me, how he could be a help to me. And as a young lead pastor in my 30s, he has helped me not make a lot of mistakes. And so I'm so thankful for all that he is doing, his leadership. And I'm so thankful to see what is happening here in Longview, Texas, under his leadership. Me and my wife's right there on the front row. She loves all the attention in the world. We've got our two beautiful girls in kids ministry right now. Pastor Tim actually was the officiant at our wedding over 10 years ago. His parents actually attend our church in Mineral Wells. And so I'm just so thankful for him and his family. And I just believe that as I was entering Longview, Texas this week, you could just feel an anointing. You could feel that God's on the move here. God has big things in store for this city, and he is on the move not only at High Ridge Church, but in Longview, Texas. I believe with my full heart that revival is coming. It's already here. It's already happening. And you're just seeing the beginning of it. And so thankful to be here today. If you would, turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. All my people that have their Bibles with the print, go ahead and show them in the air to me. Let me see it. All right, all you with cellular devices, go ahead and put them up in the air for me right there. Make sure you go to your Bible app. And if you didn't bring anything with you, we have it on the screen. So I'm going to dive right into Jonah chapter 2 this morning. It says, the engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever, but you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, right now, I just pray that you would move mountains, Lord. I pray right now that you would speak directly to our hearts. I pray for your anointing right now that I would speak your words and your words only. I pray that we'd be moved to deeper waters, to deeper relationship, to deeper intimacy. And I pray, Lord, that any of us that came in here today feeling the weight of the world, feeling like we were going to drown, I pray, Lord, that we would feel the peace that you bring to any situation. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So here recently, I've gotten into fishing. I love running. I love the wilderness. I said, you know what? I'm going to try this fishing thing out. Maybe I was inspired by the Bible. I don't know. But I've been in enjoying this quite a bit. And man, the waters are a lot higher than they were over the last couple of years. Who's all the people been praying for rain in here? The Lord has answered your prayers this year. I don't know about out here, but in Mineral Wells, I have never seen the water more full than it is right now. All the lakes surrounding us are 100% full. It's absolutely amazing. Makes for really good fishing. I've recently taken my daughters with me, and my six-year-old has fallen in love with fishing. Every time I take her, she outfishes me. A few weeks back, she had her little bitty frozen Elsa pole with a 2-pound catfish attached to it. She said, "Daddy, I caught a fish." I said, I was too focused on mine, not biting anything. I said, "No, babe, I think you're good." I look over, she's holding on to the rod for dear life, and the rod is bending over, and I don't even know how we reeled that thing in. And my daughter is competitive, y'all. The second we got that thing in the net, she says, "Daddy, that's 1-0. Then she catch another one, that's 2-0. And then I catch one, and she gets angry. I have no idea where she gets the competitive spirit from. It must be from her mother. It's definitely for me. It's a little mini me. But a few weeks ago, I went fishing by myself. And I like to fish on the little dock area. And this time I decided to bring my little chair. I was going to be comfortable. I was going to be there for a while. It was a Thursday evening. It's been a long week. But I don't know much about fishing, but I've been noticing all the older gentlemen around me are bringing in bass after bass after bass after bass. I was like, you know what? I've been watching them for a couple weeks. I consider myself an expert now. I'm gonna fish for some bass. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I start fishing for bass. And then, because I know what I'm doing, I got hung up. And so I go to the other side. I get myself unhung up. And I begin, it's like, I'm gonna try to get some bass over here. And it was a perfect, peaceful night. There was just calm waters out of nowhere. A big gust of wind comes, and I see my chair going over. I go after it full blast. I get there to my chair right as it's falling into the water. Immediately, I get sad because I've had this chair for over 10 years. My wife's been telling me to throw it away, but every time I look at it, it's like I've had this chair longer than I've been married. I think of all the memories, all the campfires, all these things. So I was immediately sad, but I'm like, I'm not going to go in the water for a chair. But then I had this revelation. I said, "Hey, where is my cellular device at?" I start checking my pockets. I look around. I open my tackle box. It's like, I remembered. Aha. I set it down in my chair as I was going to get unhung. So now I realize my cell phone is in the water. I had two options. The responsible one, to leave and pack it up, or the unresponsible one. So at 7:30 in the evening, I take my shoes off, take my shirt off, take my wallet out, and I dive into the water. Now, I had swam in there a few years ago. I was like, it's not very deep. In fact, it was like 4 feet the last time I swam there. It was no longer 4 feet. It was now 9 feet deep. And I went to the bottom, and the first try, I got my chair. And I'm hoping that my phone is inside the chair. And I go up there, I open it up, and I was not that lucky. My phone was not there. So what did I do? Nope, I didn't quit. I went right back down. But while I was going down, sweeping the water, I came back up. Something inside of me, the Holy Spirit, said, "Hey, Ryan, this cell phone is not worth losing your life over." Now, in my 20s, I would have ignored that. I would have said, you know what? I'm not going to admit defeat. But now that I've got wife and kids and everything, I decided to pack it up. And so I go home. I walk into the kitchen area where my wife and daughters are at, and I'm soaked. And my wife's like, what happened to you? I said, don't ask me about it, but I no longer have a cell phone. And she said, uh-oh. Now, as crazy, as funny as that story is, what God made me realize is this, is that we can either drown in the deep or we can learn from it. See, what's crazy to me is that I had no desire to jump in for my source of comfort, my seat, but the thing that distracts me the most in life, my cell phone, I was ready to dive in for. So often in our own life, we're ready to dive in for the things that distract us, for the things that are not of God, but the seat that he has offered you to sit at his table, you're not willing to jump into the deep for it. The title of my message today is this. It's don't drown in the deep. God has called you to deeper waters, church. But when God calls you to the deep, the enemy wants to drown you in it. So my hope today is this, is that when we feel the weight of life, when life hits hard, that we will draw near to a perfect and good God, and we won't allow the enemy to have way. So when we're reading in Jonah chapter 2, I want to give you some recap of the whole story. In Jonah chapter 1, God says, preach against evil in Nineveh, and Jonah had no desire to go to Nineveh, and so he instead goes the opposite way to Tarshish and finds himself on a boat full of unbelievers. He goes to sleep. God wakes him up with a storm. Everybody's afraid, and Jonah says, hey, throw me off the boat. There's no need for you to feel the wrath of God because of my disobedience. Now, when we read that at first glance, it sounds like he's being selfless. But if you look at his heart, he was actually being selfish. Rather than let God deal with his sin, rather than God show up and show out in that situation and redeem Jonah in front of all of these unbelievers, he would rather jump off the boat and be done with his life. Then he gets swallowed by a fish. God has a sense of humor, church. A large fish, not a whale, for all you theologians in the room. I know it's not a whale. And then we read that prayer that we'll get to in just a second. Then in Jonah chapter 3, after having a revelation of God, he goes into Nineveh and he preaches an 8-word sermon. It's the worst sermon in the history of the planet. And everybody in the city gets saved. This is a pastor's dream, y'all. I would love to come up here before you say 8 words, drop the mic, leave, and everybody radically fall in love with Jesus. But this was not Jonah's response. In fact, he got angry. This is why most theologians call him the angry prophet. He goes outside of the city. Everybody's been radically saved, radically set free, and he's angry. He asks God to give him some shade. So God sprouts out of a tree, gives him some shade. Jonah continues with his attitude and God withers away the tree. And God wanted to show him that he is a God that can provide and he's a God that can take away. So Jonah has to be absolutely the worst prophet in the history of the planet. Outside of this story of him being swallowed by a fish, we would be very hard-pressed to make his story very memorable. But I love this story. Why? because I resonate with Jonah. My life has been up and down. My faith has been up and down. I've been angry. I've been on fire for the Lord. I have felt all the weight of the world. I have felt every emotion. And I love that God uses a man like Jonah, who was willing to drown, who was willing to run away, and God uses him to bring glory to an entire city. See, Jonah could have drowned, yet God met him in the deep. I'm here to tell you today, church, that God wants to meet you in the deep. The deep can drown you, or it can refine you. Psalm 42:7 says this, "Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me." Will you let the deep, church, take you deeper? This is countercultural. Will you let the unknown take you to new levels of faith? Everybody in this society would say, hey, you need to know what's going to happen next. You need to line it all out. Society would say, you need to know, but that's not faith. When we are radically in love with Jesus, the unknown provides trust in him. Will you allow the deep to take you deeper? Here in this text, this is a lament, and it's the writer is saying that in his trials, he's going to cry out to God. He's been experiencing the waves of life, but yet he is calling for God to be with him in the deep. In Jonah 2, 5 through 7, he has ran from his calling. God has swallowed him with the fish, and he has this encounter with the Most High God. He says, "The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." He's letting you know, I thought I was done. "But you, my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you." What's crazy to me in this text is Jonah not once asked him to take him out of the belly of a fish, but thanks him for saving him through the belly of a fish. Do you see the difference? One is about me, and one is about him. Lives are full of up and downs, but your God can meet you wherever you are at, church. Isaiah 43:2 says this, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Church, you need to know today that God is with you in the deep. If you need to hear that today, God is with you. The enemy doesn't want you to believe that God is with you. He wants you to think that you're out there all alone. Anybody in here experience hard things in life? Look around. The enemy wants you to think that you're the only one. The God of the universe is with you everywhere you go. So I want to ask you a few questions today. There's some things that the enemy wants to use to drown you. Jeremiah 10:19 says this, "Woe is me because of my hurt. My wound is grievous, but I said, truly this is an affliction, and I must bear it." So I want to ask you this question. Will you allow hurt to drown you? Some of us have allowed hurt to really impact our faith. Anybody in the room ever been hurt by someone? Everybody not raising your hand right now, you're lying in church. We have all been hurt by people. I'm not exempt. But if you're not careful, hurt will attach itself to your soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Here, let me prove it to you. Has anybody in the room ever seen someone and the first thing you remembered is what they said to you? Has anybody ever seen someone and you remember how your conversation left off? That is a dangerous place to be. It means we're not operating in grace. It means we're carrying hurt, whether you realize it or not. We all have that person when we see them, we're like, ooh. But we have to be reminded of God's goodness in every situation. I'm not exempt. As a pastor, I've been hurt. And if you realize it or not, everything that's said about us eventually usually makes its way back. And sometimes, I gotta be honest with you, it really hurts. I have this egregious idea that everyone on planet Earth should like Pastor Ryan. And when they don't, it hurts. But God can meet you right in the middle of your hurt, church. Jesus experienced hurt. And yet, he still attached himself to that cross to save a humanity that had betrayed him again. I've been hurt by family, loved ones. In society today, we love to throw out this word. You've all heard it. You've probably used it. Church hurts. And the enemy is using that word to destroy unity amongst the bride of Christ. Why is it that church hurt stings so much more? See, we've gone to Best Buy and we've been upset, or we've left that job and we've never said, hey, I've never seen somebody post, I'm Best Buy hurts. I've never seen somebody say, hey, I'm Walmart hurts. I'm employer, wherever you work at, hurt. But no, church hurt gets a title because the enemy wants to destroy the bride of Christ. When we're hurt, we go to him and not to people. 1 Peter 5 through 10 says this, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. I want to ask you this question. Will you allow pain to drown you? The National Institute of Health says this, that pain was shown to have the highest intensity, followed by ache, with hurt having the lowest. So if we don't address our hurts, it morphs into something much more worse, which is pain, which will sow a seed of bitterness, which will cause us to pick up unforgiveness. And so often in our situations, we blame everything else in the world. We blame people, we blame God, and it'll sow a seed of unforgiveness. Anybody in the room ever been angry or upset with your current condition? If we don't deal with that feeling, if we don't deal with that immediately, it can harbor into something called unforgiveness. So often we let trials affect our relationships. Jesus felt this. Judas sat at the table. Peter denied him 3 times. Can you imagine that type of pain? Not only are you being bruised, battered, and humiliated, but all of your friends that you've done life with for the last 3 years, none of them, except for maybe John, are at the cross. And yet, when he sees Peter, he embraces him 3 times, canceling what he did before when he denied him 3 times. Jesus is the author of forgiveness. And he experienced pain on your behalf. And he doesn't hold it against you. And you shouldn't hold it against him. 1 John 2:16 says this, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. I want to ask you this question right now. Will you allow your own desires to drown you? See, we all want to pursue growth, but what I have seen in the church over the years in doing ministry, it's when we pursue growth, the real testing of our faith that is going to happen. Once we've dealt with our hurt, once we've dealt with our pain, and by the way, your story is somebody else's victory, church. God wants to use your story to free someone else. But once we've dealt with all of these things and we begin to pursue growth, we're going to become this little word that we're afraid of, and it's called uncomfortable. Anybody in the room like to be comfortable? Everybody. If I ask an introvert right now to go talk to somebody, your heart's going to start beating through your chest. See, when we look at this word, God calls us to be uncomfortable. This is why you need a comforter, and it's called the Holy Spirit. When we step into what he has for us, when we do all the things that he has asked us to do, when we begin to pursue the growth and the things that he has for us, we have to know that spiritual attacks are going to begin to happen. Anybody in the room ever been attacked before? Does it feel good? No. When you're walking in relationship with God, the enemy is going to attack. If you're not receiving attacks, guess what? Then maybe, just maybe, you're not walking with the Lord the way that he has called you to walk. Church, God is in full pursuit of you constantly. I want to go back to 1 John 2:16. I jumped ahead because I felt like God wanted to spend a little more time on this. I want to ask you this question. Will you allow your own desires to drown you? I want you to know that I love you too much to not talk to you about this. We are in a battle of our flesh. In America today, sexual idolatry is at an all-time high. God designed sex for a man and woman in marriage, and that's it. The end. He designed it to be good, and he designed it for us to enjoy it. But so often we look for other things and other things to fulfill us. And if we do this, we're in danger of drowning in sin. 70% of men in America viewed pornography last year more than once. Women, you're not off the hook. 40% of women admitted that they were addicted to pornography. By the year 2040, they're expecting both men and women to be at over 70% with an addictive pornography addiction. See, the enemy always wants to replace covenant with a counterfeit. And he wants to drown you in your own fleshly desires. And I'm not, there's many more out there. Maybe it's substance abuse. Maybe it's alcohol. I don't know what it is, but here's what you need to know today. Whatever your flesh desires, you have the Holy Spirit to counter it. The God of the universe wants to meet you right where you're at. In every situation, you can call on the name of Jesus. You can call 911. It's right here. It's in God's word. He will meet you right where you are at. When you feel all alone, you're like, hey, how do I defeat this? I'm tired of doing this. That little voice in your head, it's not a conscience. It's called the Holy Spirit. The living God lives in you. And listen, you're not alone. We've all fallen short. We've all messed up before. In my teenage years, in my early 20s, I was heavily addicted to pornography. And I share that to you to let you know there is hope in Jesus, and there is freedom in his name, and that you don't have to stop where you're at in your relationship. There is hope. I almost lost my wife when we were dating because I was had this hidden sin, and I was lying to her about it, but then I got accountability, and I got freedom. And you can get freedom too. The enemy wants you to think when you're out there in the deep and you've been struggling and that you're alone, that God has left you because of your sins and your mistakes, and that's a lie. God is with you every step of the way, and all you have to do is call on his name. I want to close with these two scriptures. Matthew 14, verses 30 through 33 says this, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Man, I don't think it's any coincidence that the Holy Spirit all throughout the Bible makes this parallel and shows us all these different times people experiencing God in the depths of the ocean, in the depths of uncertainty, in the depths of the sea, that they have this struggle and this tension. And the author of the text wants you to know that no matter where you're at, no matter where you're at in life, the God of the universe is there with you. So here is Jesus, here's Peter seeing Jesus walk up to him, and his first thing that he wants to do is say, "Hey, Jesus, can I follow you into the deep? Can I walk on water with you? I can resonate with this. There's been times in my life where my faith has been so high. I'm like, Jesus, I just want to be with you. I don't need the security of this boat right now. I just want you." But I can also resonate when Peter took his focus off of Jesus, what began to happen. He began to sink. Have you in your life ever taken your focus off Jesus for just a second, and then all of a sudden you don't even realize it, and you look around and you're feeling the weight of the entire world? But I love what happens. Peter says, "Hey, Jesus, I need you right now." And he extends his hand to him. And Jesus extends his hand and puts him back in the boat. When we feel like we're going to drown, church, we just need to extend our hands and call on the name above all names. In Exodus 14, 21, it says this, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea in dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left." Here's another story of God doing something miraculous. Moses was sent into Egypt to free the Israelites from 400 years of slavery. They are running from the Egyptian military. They get up to this big sea. Like, "Hey, God, what do we do now? You told us to go here. What do I do?" And can you imagine being there and seeing a whole sea parted with a perfect path? To their left was a wall of water. To their right was another wall. In front of them was uncertainty, and behind them, the enemy was coming. Can you imagine the faith it took to step into the deep and not be afraid of drowning? You had to have known who was on the other side to ever step into it. You had to have known that the only option is to go before you. See, you feel what's behind you, you wonder what's in front of you, and you may be consumed by what's beside you, but God is parting the sea for you to walk in the deep, church. I want to ask you this question as I prepare to close. Will you choose to walk or drown? I don't know where you're at today, but God wants to refine you. God wants to take you to new levels of relationship. This means that, hey, life is going to have its ups and downs, but no matter whether you're experiencing the good or experiencing the bad, your God sits on the throne and he can meet you right where you are at in the deep. Some of you came here today feeling like you're drowning. And the God of the universe wants to meet you right where you're at. And he wants to pull you into him. Jesus, the name above all names, is with you, church. If you would bow your head and close your eyes, I'm out of time. If you're here this morning, and you say, I came here this morning, but if I'm being honest, I feel like I've been drowning. Would you raise your hands? Many hands raised. Anybody else? Thanks for your transparency. Anybody else? Many hands are raised. Put your hand down. Who would say, I don't feel like I'm drowning necessarily, but I feel like God is taking me to a place of deeper faith and deeper intimacy. And I want to go deeper and I want to have new levels of faith and I want to trust him at a greater capacity than I ever had before. Would you raise your hands? Awesome. And pray for us. For those of us that raised our hand and said that we feel like we're drowning, Lord, your Holy Spirit brings peace to any storm, to any situation. And so I pray peace over all my brothers and sisters today. I pray that you would extend your hand to them as they extend their hand to you, and that they'll get their breath again because you are the breath of life. I pray that we would go to uncharted waters, new levels of faith, and that we would trust and have faith in every situation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. With all heads bowed down, I've got one more prayer. If you're here today and you say, hey, Ryan, I don't know that I've ever given my life to Jesus. I don't know that I've ever made him Lord of my life. If I were to die today, I don't know that I would spend eternity in his heaven. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm tired of just giving him lip service. And I truly want to make him Lord of my life today. If that's you today, friend, pray this with me. Jesus, I put my trust in you. Jesus, you are Lord. And pray this. Forgive me of my sins, I turn to you. Thank you for dying on the cross, and thank you for raising from the grave. Thank you for just now meeting me right where I'm at. With all heads bowed down, no one looking around, I'm not gonna embarrass you or call you out this morning, but if you just prayed with me to make Jesus Lord of your life, will you look at me and give me a quick little wave? Just look at me and give me a quick little wave. I got you right there, bud. Anybody else? Got you right there, bud. Awesome. Anybody else? Look at me and give me a quick little wave. Praise God. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Everybody look at me. Can we give it up for those who just took steps today? So excited about your decision. It was an honor to preach to you this morning. I hope you are encouraged. I love y'all so much. I hope you have a fantastic week. I'm going to hand it over to your pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Ryan. Thank you so much for bringing that powerful word. I love that. Thank you so much. For those of you watching online, if you like what you heard today, don't be afraid to click that share button. And then for everybody else, go ahead and let's stand to our feet together as we finish up our service today. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward, and these guys are going to be available, as they are every week, to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer about. We recognize that this is not easy times for us to live in. Many of you are walking through difficult situations. It would help you, please hear me, it would help you to be prayed for. We still believe in this church. It might be a crazy old-fashioned belief to some. We still believe that God hears our prayers, that God answers when his people call upon his name. Scripture is very, very clear that God hears our prayers. There's another scripture where Jesus says, you don't have because you didn't ask. So if you need help, if you're walking through a difficult situation, please, as this service ends today, make your way forward, grab the hands of one of these amazing prayer partners and say, I need prayer, and let us pray for you. And we believe that God's going to do some amazing things in your life as you choose to take that step of faith. For everybody else, hey, I want to bless you and send you out. So let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for what you've given to them, and I pray that they would use it to glorify you. I pray that they would hear your voice, that they'd be obedient to you, that they live the rest of this week, Lord, in the middle of your blessing and your favor. And I ask these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. And all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.